You know, I have six people in our organization that have golden doors, whether they came from pests or got solar. We're all so similar. Like, we're at dinner. It's like, oh my gosh, these people, they think the same way. You know, it's business revolving around life, right? You know, I am my business. I live it and I breathe it. If I'm at the grocery store, oh, hey, what is your company? Oh, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's the same thing, right? I live it and I eat it and I breathe it. And so my mindset, it's just like, hey, I got to get out there. I got to work every single day. I have, like, there's no, oh, what's your goal? Well, I almost got it. No, you better get your goal and then you better expand upon it, right?
Welcome everybody out to the DDD podcast. We got the Golden Door Deep Dive segment with Brandon Burke. How you doing, man?
I'm great, man. How are you?
So good, dude. Chilling in Hawaii, I see.
Yeah.
What island are you on?
I'm in Oahu. I'm actually staying here in Waikiki.
Oh, dude, it looks like you're in freaking paradise right now. I'm kind of jealous.
It's so beautiful. Yeah, it's awesome out here. Yeah. Well, dude, I love it.
Thank you for hopping on the podcast during your vacation. We, you know, us as an industry, we really appreciate it. So I wanted to dive headfirst into your story. How long have you been selling and what got you into the industry?
So I actually, I initially started in 2018. I was doing mortgages before that. And I ran across an opportunity at V3. And so I started there and I did it for about a year and a half, became a sales manager. I really enjoyed it. But at that time, rates had kind of dropped a lot. And so I went back into mortgages. And then last September, October 2022, I got a call and V3 reached back out to me and I started with them again. So, overall, I've been doing it for about 2.5-3 years now.
Wow. So not even like a super long time. That's actually really cool. So, you know, you get back into the industry kind of near the end of 2022. So clearly 2023 was your pretty explosive year. Cause that was the year, you know, you hit your golden door. So walk me through your 2023.
Yeah. So essentially at the beginning of the year, I was actually for the first 3 months, I was getting back into it. Maybe first month or so I was setting. And then by November I started closing. And at the beginning of 2023, we knew NEM3 was going to come up. Right. And so I did a lot of self-gen, setting and closing, and had a pretty good quarter one. But again, we knew that things were going to change quite a bit. I had never sold a battery. I sold maybe one battery in my life up until April of that year. And so April, I actually took the month off. I jumped in and I learned about batteries and things like that. I recruited a setter over and then we started doing the closer setter model. Had a huge quarter two. I think I had about 60 deals in 2 months. Same thing in quarter three. And then quarter four, we started recruiting and adding on. Got another setter who ended up having a really good year last year too at the end of the year and had a big quarter four to finish it off. And it was enough to get me over the hump to get a golden door. It was a really good year overall. A lot of changes, a lot of pivoting, you know, moving around from, solar only to, hey, solar with batteries and you know, how this whole thing is going to work. A lot of throwing stuff at the wall and just seeing what stuck. But by the end of the year, I mean, our efficiency, you know, I was in home, you know, in home a lot, but you know, everything was closing. I just had a lot better strategy. It made a lot more sense. You know, and now obviously this year, you know, rates just skyrocketing in California. It's going to be a completely different market, even better. But yeah, it was just a lot of trial by error, you know, seeing what works, what didn't work. And then I would say probably by August, we really had this whole thing figured out with net metering 3.
Awesome. Yeah. It's really cool to interview a lot of solar Golden Door winners right now because the skill of adaptability is so essential for selling solar. You talked about how a lot of it was just trial and error, throwing mud on the wall, seeing what sticks. But in your opinion, what's the key to adaptability within solar?
Well, just being able to pivot, right? Not putting your head down and being stuck in one way, not being too stubborn. You have to be open to new ideas and talking to other people and listening and really listening to the customer, watching the market and things like that. And then going out and not expecting somebody to do the hard work for you. You have to go obtain the information. You know, the information is out there, you know, especially with some of the utility companies, it's kind of like, you know, lock and key. But if you really do your due diligence and you start talking to people that work at those companies, you're going to get a lot of insight that you could use and you could structure, whether it's your pitch, whether it's your close, you know, to that. But the main thing would be have a mindset of doing what's right for the customer, but also continuing to, you know, to work hard and all that stuff and take all that information you learned and put it into an effective strategy.
I love that so much. And that kind of leads perfectly into my next question, because with adaptability, because clearly, you know, solar has changed from a few years ago, whereas a few years ago, we could knock on someone's door and pitch them on savings and basically just do a bill swap. Now we have to pitch on selling value. On selling ownership for renting from the utility company, essentially. Right. So my question is how have you been able to transition from selling on savings versus selling on that value?
Well, that's always how it was. It's funny because 5 years ago when I did this, I would say maybe 1 out of 10 customers actually saved money. It was hard, right? It was really hard to show savings. And it was just a lot of knocking doors, a lot of hustling. Hey, you know, at 1 out of 100, you know, 1 out of 100, hopefully not that many, but 1 out of 50 will do this. 1 out of 30 will do this. And if you do it more, you'll get better and your ratios go down. But it was always value. Hey, look, you know, so-and-so utility, if they go up at 5% per year, you know, tier two is going to be this and you're going to save this much money. Well, I come back 5 years later and it actually doubled our initial predicaments. So adding the battery cost in, obviously it took away a lot of those savings, but it's the same thing. Hey, look what your utility did in 5 years. 5 years ago, you were paying this. Look at it now. Would you be comfortable? I mean, obviously with COVID, gas prices and food went up a lot, but nothing like utilities. I mean, like, are you comfortable with that? Do you trust your utility company that this is the right decision? Isn't it better to have that backup battery capability? So if something does happen or the utility continues to have power outages, things like this, more demand with electric vehicles, so on and so forth. Isn't it nice to have control over that? This is a much better product. Let me explain why. And for the most part, people see that value. You know, I actually have customers paying more money right now for the most part than they were with their utility, but it's a no-brainer. You know, just having all that control and the extra solutions that this product supplies.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, selling on that value is absolutely essential. And I love how you kind of said it was like, well, it's always been selling on the value of it. Which is awesome. So, you know, kind of diving into, you know, interest rates, because that's been a very hot topic lately. What are your current thoughts on the interest rates going up and its impact on prices for the customer?
So it's funny because I did mortgages for a long time. So I'm really into rates and things like that. I remember 5 years ago, I sold a lot, right? And it was a 0.99%, no cost, dealer fee loan for 20, 25 years. And it was so simple. And at the same time, like mortgage rates were in the 2 to 3% range. Money was cheap. But if you go back, so my family's in real estate. My dad said the first deal he ever sold in 1982, it was a 20% interest rate. So even where they're at now, historically, they're not that bad. I mean, you know, it's really not the worst thing in the world compared to what it was, you know, what was that 40 years ago now? It's just part of it. You know, there's always the unpredictable with rates. You know, I'll be honest with you. I've kind of transitioned. I don't sell a lot of solar anymore. I do a lot more of the PPA structure. Those rates haven't changed. So I kind of use that to my advantage. Hey, look, you know, we're just basically replacing a utility rate. If you're at 42 cents a kilowatt to start and you go up to 52 and 62 cents and we can get you fixed at 25, 30 cents a kilowatt with battery backup, you know, it's a no-brainer. And you know what your rate is every single month. Now, obviously, with the tax credit and things like that, there's still the ability to buy. And it's just making the numbers work, right? Hey, look, you know, you could buy it at this, you know, whatever it is it worth having the ownership and then the resell? And again, the control and then, you know, using that strategy, because the big thing is we know whether it's a loan or a PPA, you know what your payment is in 25 years. But with your utility, I mean, it just went up almost 20% last month. Who knows what you're going to pay in 25 years? It could literally be several dollars a kilowatt. You know, I predict it to be a dollar a kilowatt in the next 2 to 3 years with the utility out here. That's mind boggling.
Yeah, absolutely. How are you explaining dealer fees to customers?
Well, so it's basically like, hey, there's an upfront charge on this. You know, it's just part of it. I actually usually avoid that. I just say the cost of the project is this amount. Now, if somebody were to do a cash purchase, you know, which isn't a bad idea in this market, you know, truthfully, hey, you know, maybe that's the way to go. If you do a cash purchase, you get a better price because there's not any financing. And I explain the state of the economy. Look at mortgage rates. You know, if you would not refinance right now. I mean, if you had a 2.75% interest rate, are you going to refinance to 8.5%? Absolutely not, right? If a home is like one of the most solid, you know, investments out there, right? You know, obviously the 2008 crisis, that was an exception to the rule, but foreclosures and things like that aren't likely because people have to have a place to live. So if rates are that high on a home, you know, solar panels don't have the same stability, right? You have to understand the reason why. I tell all my guys in our company that it's not so much the what, it's the why. Why is this working like this? You know, why are rates going up with this utility company? Why are interest rates here? And if you can explain that to the customer and they see the value in it, well, you're right, because everything going on overseas and look what the Fed is doing and this and that. And yeah, you're right. I was actually going to pull money out and I realized my payment on my mortgage would go up $1,500. It didn't make any sense. I'm like, exactly. It's the same thing here. So if you have cash, it's not a bad idea to utilize that. But if you don't, then to borrow it, there is more risk involved. That's why you're paying more than you would 5 years ago.
Dang, mic drop moment there.
Thank you.
I'm loving that. So, kind of going into some other hot topics within the industry. I've been chatting with a few solar buddies and just really getting down to the nitty gritty. What are some of the problems that are occurring within solar? So you're telling in California, it sounds like, what Correct. Market specifically?
Northern California. So PG&E.
Nice. Okay. So Northern yeah. California, are you running into a lot of permit poaching up there?
You know what? It is what it is. You know, there's practices like that. You know, I like to stay above board, you know, another solar company, that's not my competition. It's really not. My competition is utility. I'm just trying to take there's a lot of pain up here in Northern California because of PG&E and some of the issues they've had in the past and that they're continuing to have rate increases, fires, so on and so forth. I'm just trying to help my customers get away from the utility and give them a more suitable, sustainable, long-term, predictable, and controllable option with solar. Now, I go out and I find my business, you know, me and my guys, we knock doors, you know, whatever kind of above board ways we do it. If that's the way you do your practices, everybody's got to make a living. You know, I'm not going to condemn them for that, but mm-hmm. I've been very fortunate. I have not had that. It does seem a little bit maybe below board to do that. But again, I mean, I guess you have to make a living.
It happens. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways that people are navigating that. You know, whether that's maintaining a really strong relationship with the client, presenting enough value within your company that they're pretty sold on you guys. Clearly, you know, as well too, you know, you're running a team and your guys have been helping you, you know, you guys have all been kind of like, you know, the rising tide raises all ships. You guys have been experiencing a lot of success. How are you training your setters, to improve on like both their sit ratio and, just adding value to the doorstep?
So I preach quality over quantity. You know, that's a big thing for me. It's like, hey, look, do we want 10 leads that we go out to and we waste 10 hours a lead and we get two? Or do we want to go find two really good ones and then we get them both? And then now I have another set. There's other setters that can send me their deals because I'm only one person, right? We are a growing team. You know, at one, literally, what is it, March? December 1st, there was four of us. Now there's 14. Right. I've seen guys come into our team and go from, you know, 12 deals last year to 10 deals a month already, which is super, super awesome because February is typically a tough month to sell. We're having a better year, much better year this year than we've had last year. And a lot of it is its mindset, you know, coming from, hey, you know, it's hard, this and that. You know, I got a video of these guys out there knocking in torrential rains and stuff. I'm in Hawaii, right? But I was doing that last 2 weeks ago. I promise you I was with them. But anyways, it's just like, hey, look, this mindset, you have to go out there and we have to constantly be finding, you know, our livelihoods depend on, increasing our volume in business, but also doing it in a smart way. It's really looking for the good, solid deals because what we want, you know, every closer I have closes exactly the same way I do. It's very consistent. Every setter sets exactly the same way, that I would set or our best setter set. So when I get a deal, it's like, it's like a factory meals, right? It's already prepackaged. Same thing. Just put them in and cook them. And makes it super smooth. You have extremely high close ratios. Per lead, we actually aren't the highest lead generating team in our office. But undoubtedly, you know, we're the top sales team, just based off conversion ratios, high quality stuff, spending a little bit more time on the doors to find those good ones. But they see the why. They know why we need to do that. Hey, if I'm closing 5 bad deals, that's a deal that you couldn't put me in that I could have closed for you instead. Now it's getting delayed a day and all time kills deals. Now you don't get that deal. Now you lost 6 instead of getting that one that actually would have sold. We all get paid for sold installed projects. So it's preaching the benefit of that kind of high quality, you know, low attrition mindset, and having really good guys. We had the same vision, same mindset, a system that works beautifully. I'm very fortunate to have these guys allowing me to close their deals for them.
I love that. I love that. What are you doing to minimize cancels?
Well, just set the expectation, you know, hey, look, I think a lot of like solar companies, a big pitch is going to be, oh yeah, it'll be on tomorrow. We'll install super fast. And then, you know, it'll turn on super quick and this and that. Well, realistically, it's a construction project, right? You know, yeah, I could put panels on your roof in like, you know, less than a month in many occasions, but guess what? I got to put a battery up there. And if you have electrical work, guess what? PG&E or whoever the utility is has to be out there with you. Oh, and then they got to turn it on. So realistically, if I'm telling people 30 days and they expect that system to turn on in 30 days, they're going to be pretty unhappy when there's panels on the roof that don't work. But if I tell them, hey, I'll have the panels on there in 30 days and about, you know, 60 to 90 days after that, it'll turn on. I set the proper expectation up front. And if it gets done early, they love me. And if it gets done right around that time, I met the expectation. So it's giving myself a little bit more, you know, setting a good expectation up front. And then letting them know, hey, look, if you have questions, this all makes sense, right? If you called PG&E and asked them to predict what your payment would be in 6 minutes, let alone 6 years, they're going to laugh at you. This is a great program. And if you have concerns or something you didn't understand, call me. Don't send out an email. Don't cancel with the financer. Call me. I'll take care of it. We're not perfect. Everybody's going to have cancellations. It is what it is. Don't worry about it. Move on. Find another one. But don't allow one that you could have saved to walk away either.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Because the thing is, I interview a lot of pest control reps, and retention's kind of been a hot topic within the pest control space as well. And, you know, some of the top guys are like, look, the more you sell, the more cancels you're going to get. My job is just to move to the next door. I'll do whatever I can to obviously save a deal. But at the same time, my job is the next door as well.
Yeah.
So I'm not emotionally tied too much to a previous deal. We're in abundance. Great.
Yeah, that's great. Yep, I agree.
So talk to me, because you've been growing massively with your team. What's been your key to growth over these last few months?
Recruiting. So a lot of it is like, unfortunately, like everybody wants to be at home closing deals and stuff like that. But if you're in home all the time and you're not focusing on your business, you're just in your business, you're never going to grow. And so that's something in December, myself and, you know, two of my guys, my top guys, we sat there and we said, hey, what do we need to do to grow this room next year? There's 3 of us in here now. We want 15 of us in here and 6 leaders making the choices for our team next year. And we understood, hey, it's going to be getting out of the, you know, not always being at home. It's replacing myself with quality closers. Obviously, I have to lead from the front. You know, I'm at 55 sold deals already this year. I need to get at least 250 to 300, which I'm on pace for. But I need to get another 2 or 3 guys closing 150 to 200 as well to get to our ultimate goals, right? And it's getting good setters. It's getting these guys in the door. It's utilizing social media. It's being exposed. It's getting loud. It's finding good people and putting them in the positions to succeed, right? I tell my guys all the time when they walk in the door, hey, right now you're knocking doors for me. In a year, 2, 3 years, you know, you might be in a completely different position. I don't expect you to be in the same spot. I want you leading teams of leaders or running our recruiting or being like the ops. Like, it's basically a business within a business. I want future leaders, not, you know, career door knockers. I want future leaders. And if we focus on the great ones and they bring in more great people, you know, this thing is good. There's no ceiling.
Exactly. Yeah. Because you can be a great leader, but if you don't know how to duplicate yourself, that's where a lot of guys shoot themselves in the foot, because maybe they step down from their organization before it's ready to walk on its own 2 legs. So like you said, you're in the business of building leaders, not building career door knockers. which I think is such a vital key to growth. All the companies that we see that are growing the most are the ones that are focusing mostly on, you know, culture, on impact. They view themselves as not necessarily in the solar business, but in the people business, and their reps are their clients, which is awesome.
What's up, guys? So proud of you guys listening, getting this far. I just love that you're investing in yourself and the time, whether you're driving out to area, you're in the gym. I just want to invite you guys to take one step further and come meet us in person. We have a business boot camp, a sales boot camp, and a recruiting boot camp, all 2-day live in-person events at our office where we take you, hold you hand on an intimate room, no more than 50 people, where it's like, let's role play how to go be a better salesperson at the boot camp. Let's role play and dive into recruiting strategies. We have 10 different modalities of how to go do campus blitzes on recruiting or how to do Indeed ads properly. Or our business leadership boot camp that is going in how to be a better manager, leader, create culture, coach reps out of slumps, training and onboarding, like all the things it takes to run a successful business. So whether you're trying to level up sales, recruiting, or leadership, we have a different boot camp for you, and they are happening every single month right here in Salt Lake City, Utah. Guys, don't be somebody who's just, oh, I'm here watching. Oh, I don't know if I'm worthy. I don't know if I can afford. I promise you, if you just go to theddexperts.com, schedule a demo, see when our next events are, you're not going to want to miss getting involved in person, hands-on, because that's where we really can help you. So hope to see you at one of our next boot camps, and I hope you guys continue listening and loving this podcast.
So now kind of moving into Golden Door specifically. So if you had a new rep that sat down with you and asked you basically, hey, What should my plan be, you know, from A to Z? How am I going to get a golden door this year? What is it that you're going to tell them?
Work it backwards. So what you got to do is you got to figure out how many leads it takes you to get a sale. And then how many sales or how many sold for an install. So if you're losing half your sold, well, you're going to have to close quite a few deals, right? Work it backwards. So let's say I'm at the point right now where every 4 leads I get or every 3 leads I get, I sell one. And every 5 sold, 4 install. Well, we'll just do the math, right? And if you know, last year I did a lot of, you know, solo deals. This year I'm doing a lot more splits. You know, I have setter closer. So I'm in more homes. I have more opportunities. So, you know, I did the math. I got to sell 250 deals to get another golden door. And I don't see any problem with doing that. Now for a setter, you know, I had a big conference at work the other day. And one of the things was, oh, you can't be a setter and be one of the top people in the company. Leo Blake, one of my guys, had 64 solds quarter 3. So that, and then 58 the quarter before. Paul had 50. You know, Cody Smith, who's stud, got a golden door last year. He's probably the best in the company, in my opinion. You know, as a setter, he probably closed more deals than he did closing it because he was being able to throw 5 deals a piece, right? So I tell my setters, hey, look, you know, you're getting 10 leads a week and 5 are closing. Right. And then 4 are installing. So do the math. If you go out there and you do this literally for 50 weeks, you're well above where you need to be because that's 250 solds and that's 200 installs. So go out there, get 10 leads a week. Well, 10 leads a week, if you do a 6-day week like we do, that's just about 1.75 leads a day. That's pretty attainable. People look at 200, 250, all these installs, say, oh my gosh, it's so daunting. Just be consistent and do it every day. I mean, you know, I kind of stumbled into it. I, you know, we talked about a golden door and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, that'd be cool to get that. I didn't really know the parameters of it. And then in I think it was in October, I had a meeting with our CFO and our director of sales at the time. And they're like, hey, you know, you're like on pace for a golden door, right? I'm like, really? Okay. What do I need? And I just go do it. And I went and I did it. And we were cool, you know, it was cool because a lot of people I work with were able to do it too. But that experience of getting the golden door, my thing, you know, I got the little chain on right now. I love what you guys do. The golden door, that's all great. But the big thing for me was the journey to get there. Man, it was so fun. Just the hard work, the long nights, sleeping in Airbnbs on couches, you know, getting home at midnight, you know, for weeks at a time. I love that. I absolutely love that part of it. And so I gotta let my guys know, hey, if you want it, it won't be easy, man. It's going to be those long days, but you got to understand that journey. That's the success. It's not the end result. The success is the journey to get there.
Absolutely. I think that's probably one of the most, like, you know, cut and dry A to Z. This is the plan. approach I've heard, and I love it. So now talking on the mindset piece of it. So what kind of mindset do you guys need to have in order to hit Golden Door, in your opinion?
Just understanding that, you know, that they're worthy of it, right? That they could be the people you see on the stage. I mean, it's all the same stories. You know, I have six people in our organization that have Golden Doors, whether they came from Pest or got Solar. We're all so similar. Like, we're at dinner, it's like, oh my gosh, these people, they think the same way. You know, it's business revolving around life, right? You know, I am my business. I live it and I breathe it. If I'm at the grocery store, oh, hey, what is your company? Oh, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's the same thing, right? I live it and I eat it and I breathe it. And so my mindset, it's just like, hey, I got to get out there. I got to work every single day. I have, like, there's no, oh, what's your goal? Well, I almost got it. No, you better get your goal and then you better expand upon it, right? I have never, you know, maybe once out of 52 weeks, I maybe missed my goal. I think it was weather related, if I'm not mistaken. That is so important, like being meticulous. So one big thing about me, it's like with my guys, it's putting everything on the calendar, right? To the T, the name, everything structured. Make it so simple. If everything's written down, it's done exactly the same way. All I have to do is just go out there, be in front of customers, close deals. If I'm a setter, I just have to go out on the doors every single day. My mindset is I go out there, I'm getting four deals every single day. Cause if I get four, you know, every single day, then two sell, and then 1.75 of those two install. And then I got 280 sold deals, and then I got a Golden Door. It's just being super meticulous to the T, being relentless. You know, there's really bad storms right now in Northern California. It's been like that for a month. 2 weeks ago, we were out there freezing for 5 or 6 days, man, because it's like, hey, there's no opportunity better than now. And we sold 33 deals last month. Just getting out there and doing it. It's always being active. It's having a plan. It's executing it. There's a lot of things to add up to it, but just the mindset of constant action, constant preparation. And then I would say self-betterment by making sure you understand what you're doing and doing it the right way.
Dang, man. I love that so much. Kind of like I said earlier, very cut and dry, A to Z, focus on these inputs and these outputs will follow if you really just dial in that process. So now speaking to like the technicality of learning how to sell, was that process difficult for you? What was the most difficult part about learning how to actually close deals?
So that's something, it's funny because I was closing when I was here before. Is that 4 or 5 years ago? And then in November, what happened was that we got so busy, and one of my closers got promoted. And he basically told me, hey, I can't really help you. Like, I can't close for anymore. And I'm a big trust person. Like, I trust my reps with every appointment that they're going to send me is legitimate. And their expectation is every deal they put in front of me, I'm going to do my best to close it. So for me, that really hurt. I'm like, what do I got to do? Well, guess what? Let's go put my closer hat back on. And what I did was I went back to my, my basics, what I learned 5 years ago. And I restudied it. We had a really good closer, one of the best I've ever met. That was our director. And I just went back in there and I pulled all that information and I went right back into it. It's business as normal. The first couple weren't as smooth, but you got to give yourself the shots, right? You got to be confident. You got to understand it's like a controlled crash, right? You're starting here. You got to take them. You got to land them safely. The expectation, the assumption is we are going to do business today. Hey, so anyways, this was great. We went over it. Obviously, this is a good fit. I got to get you qualified. We're going to go ahead and sign some documents and get this thing moving forward. We'll have panels on your roof in 30 days. And about 60 to 90 days after that, it'll turn on. And then when they changed to the batteries, I took most of March and April off last year just to learn batteries and how this whole thing would work. And again, I said before, that was just throwing mud on the wall and seeing what stuck. My efficiency, the first couple months of M3 weren't high. We had a lot of volume, but it was inefficient volume. Where now it's like, you know, we're almost sniping. You know, it's a lot more structured and consistent higher ratios.
Totally. So what would you tell someone that might be struggling with, you know, they're struggling on the doors, they're not getting as many sets as they would like. They're kind of nervous knocking the doors. They just don't feel very articulate. What would you tell that person?
So that's it. It's the nerves. Don't be nervous. Go out there. Like the person behind that door doesn't know your pitch, you know, unless they happen to work at the same company, but they don't know your pitch. Right. And so it's not the pitch itself that matters. It's the end result. Like your job is to go out there. It's show the value of what you guys have, explain why it makes sense, and then get them in front of a closer. Let the closer do the rest of the work. Don't overthink it. Your job is just to get quality appointments. You know, don't worry if like, you know, I my biggest pet peeve is getting a text, man, this area stinks, that there's all renters here. It's like, oh, really? Because I guarantee you, if you keep knocking, not every single person there is going to rent. The first 10 doors could be the worst and the next 10 doors could be the best. I can't tell you how many times that's happened where I go to a rep's territory and like, this is the worst. You're going to hate it. First door, get a bill like, oh, really? I thought this is the worst. I thought everybody here, this, you know, you put this thing in your mind. Oh, this area is just known for being the worst. You never know. There's always somebody who's interested. It's your job to find them. And if you're not willing or not capable of handling that job, then we have to find somebody to replace you. Kind of put the ball in their court. Really? Well, you know what? You're expendable. We need to find somebody that understands that that's the job and they're going to go out there and do it. If you want all the glory and the role, you know, the higher responsibility and teams and stuff like this, guess what you got to do? You got to do the hard stuff. I've been there. I've had days knocking doors, getting wet, getting snowed on. This is the worst job ever. And then after a while, just, you know, you get better at it. Oh, hey, instead of 15 doors to get a lead, it's 5 and so on and so forth. So it gets better. It's just, it's not easy. If you want to make the earnings and have the potential value that this industry provides, you got to put the hard work in up front.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's kind of funny, like talking about that, putting a guy through a vet into an area where a rookie was really struggling. What's so interesting is that every door is an equal opportunity for everyone, no matter who it is. Yeah. I heard this funny thing yesterday or the other day. It was basically like, if you were to take like a seasoned vet, like let's take you and then let's take, you know, just like a random rookie. It's not like whoever's knocking the door, there's like a big number above their head. This is how many installs, this is how many bills and sets I've done my whole career. It, like literally whoever is opening the door and is looking at you, it just sees the exact same thing. A salesman.
It agrees off you. Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, they know who I am. Like they're not watching this. They don't know who I am.
100%. Yeah, they don't know. It's like, that. Oh, it's Brandon. It's a Golden Door winner.
You know? Oh, I need a sign right now. Yeah, we're not Jedi, so there's nothing. It's the attitude. It's just the mindset. It's just the flow. And it's things you learn by doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Another big hot topic within solar is market saturation. A lot of guys kind of go into that scarcity mindset of, oh, there's so many people that are knocking doors for solar that it just doesn't make sense to go out and do it. How do you overcome the scarcity mindset within the industry? And then how do you also differentiate yourself on the doors with customers?
Yeah. So realistically, like if you go through California, it's a really good market for solar. Like I'm in Hawaii right now. I don't see any solar panels. Again, I'm looking at high rises, but, you know, in California, not every home has solar. Now, all new construction will have solar, but even those systems that on these new houses, they're really small, right? 6 to 10 panel systems for these large homes because they meet minimum California mandates. All those are going to have solar, especially with the new battery laws, right? So there's no, until every house has the perfect amount of solar and nobody moves and all these people are comfortably living in these exact houses, there's no such thing as market saturation. I've been working the same markets for 5 years. You know, on and off, right? I haven't left. I'm talking to the same people I talked to 5 years ago that I talked to last year. Hey, you weren't ready. You're ready now. Things change, weather events. People move constantly in California, right? Lifestyle changes. We added a hot tub. We got an electric car. Hey, we just had kids. Hey, look, you know, we added an air conditioner. There's always reasons why people didn't do it before that they could do it now. There's always going to be competition. If there was no competition and everybody just showed up to your office to sign paperwork, you wouldn't make any money because it would be easy. Like, okay, so I could literally, you know, have a computer. You're just going to type their information and it installs on the roof. The companies would need to hire sales reps. It's not an easy job, right? It's just part of it. Just like with setting, it's not easy. You got to be active. The way that we do it is we're extremely transparent. I know a lot of people use different tactics and things like that. Our strategy is, I think strategies are better. Let's just be straight up. You know, if you're kind of misleading to me up front, or I'm not sure what you're doing up front, I won't trust you, especially if I'm signing paperwork. Hey, this is what we do. This is how it works. You know, we pay for this, we pay for that. You pay less. This whole system. This is how we do it. Brandon's going to come back. We're going to get you signed up, get you moving forward. Everything's straight up to begin with. Hey, they shot me straight. I appreciate that kind of business, and I notice that my customers do as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We're in the age of transparency.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, you know, 5 years ago, where there was maybe like a little bit of market saturation and just like approaching the door, maybe you got the vest and you're pretending you're with the utility company. It's like people see through stuff like that now,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. You have to be confident in what you're doing. And that, I think that's a big thing. It's like, hey, this is so much better than what you're doing right now. Let me explain why. Oh, wow. That's really cool. Oh, that's great. And then, hey, well, I'm going to look it up. And if I find anything, here's every customer I've signed up. These five hated me at first. Now they love me. These five are still unsure. And these five love me to begin with. Call everyone. Hey, everything was the same. Everything's black and white from here to here. I like it. Let's do business. Right.
Absolutely. So Brandon, let me ask you, you know, obviously solar's really changed a lot within the last few years. What are kind of your predictions for how it's going to change in the next few years? And then what are your kind of plans to help adapt to that?
Yeah. So I think we're going to see a lot of, like a movement into other states, you know, just naturally rising rates. So I think new markets are going to evolve. I think utility districts, so like California's, predominantly, taken over by San Diego, Southern California Edison and PG&E. There's these other smaller local utilities that eventually will start seeing their costs increase just because of like the fire prevention things. So there's going to be new markets that we could dip into. California is a big state. But at some point PG&E is going to do like what Hawaii does. They're going to, and then these other companies where there's so much power from the batteries being stored, that's going back to the grid at these peak times. It's going to get capped out at some point. Right. And it'll be like all purchase or whatever. So really we're going to have to start maybe getting as much done as we can now. Maybe at some point start focusing on these true up customers, that these new builds with these tiny systems on these big homes. We're going to have to start looking at different things. We're going to have to start working with builders to be the ones who set up the solar to begin with, dip into these smaller markets like SMUD or other utilities, and then maybe start venturing out of state too to other areas, you know, like Nevada or other places where rates are starting to finally go up where it makes sense. People are always going to want to do solar for a couple of reasons. The main one is people like control. They want to know what the predictable payment is. And then I think the battery, the improvement with the batteries and then the cost going down. California is a really good example because every vehicle that gets sold is going to have to be electric or I think hybrid, pardon me, by 2035. Well, they're not making a bigger grid to hold that capacity. The energy's got to come from somewhere. There's 40 million people in California. If they're all driving electric cars, we're going to have blackouts constantly. So the opportunities there, it's just going to change. You got to pull the value from having the battery. Everybody that does it now is so lucky because just like the people that did this 5 years ago with 18 cent rates, you know, 25 cent rate now with a battery or whatever it is going to look killer when it's $1.50 a kilowatt and the power's out every day from 3 to 6 or whatever it is. So there's just a lot of new opportunities coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes me sad to see all that scarcity mindset. I think people are just afraid and don't want to actually like buckle down, learn how to be the expert. They just want the easy path, the easy deals. Yeah. They miss the days when it was just like you could sell on savings, and now they actually have to be good salesmen. They have to be good communicators to go make it happen and make it big in solar. So Brandon, I really appreciate you hopping on, taking your time away from your vacation to help, you know, educate us on how you got a golden door and how others could do the same. So as we part, do you have any parting words for the industry as a whole?
Keep grinding. You know, I think 2024 is going to be a big year. We're going to see a lot of leaps with utility prices continue to go up, more power outages. Take advantage of it. Get good right now, because like you said, that scarcity mindset in the long term, if you're good now, you're going to be great in the future. And you're going to have like your own market for this whole thing. So keep up the good work, everybody.
I love it. Well, Brandon, thanks again for hopping on. We'll see you next year.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
I'll be there. Take it easy.
All right. See you guys.